hobbies are all managing to keep awake.
We put the temperature down at the front so you will stay awake. I don't know if it's warm at the back, but it's frozen down. All good. No excuses for sleeping, okay? Right, okay, I'm Catherine Robertson, I'm from West Lothian Council, as you've heard. I'm a member of the Learning and Quality Assurance team. And as part of my research, I like to say I decided, but that's maybe stretching a point. And since my boss is here, I will tell you that she never ever tells you what to do. She just kind of leads you. And she is a great believer in research, just finishing a PhD in it. So this part is a bit of encouragement. She did reassure me that it would be a team process. And I have to tell you, I held her to that. And they were all involved. So we have all very much been involved in this process and this part of research. The training that came about, we deliver training, and that's what I have decided to look at in my research. This training was in re-ablement, and it came about as part of the Reshaping Care for Older People agenda. The mission of the training was to design and deliver bespoke training. And we've done this by using significant learning from an existing team of re-ablement workers. This assisted us to understand how the role and remit had developed over time. This detailed knowledge, alongside a skill set analysis of current personal care staff, identified the training needs that populated the programme. So the plan of this training was we had domiciliary care workers who were moving into a re-ablement programme. And we were trying to shift the focus of their care. The training was delivered by a multi-agency team consisting of senior managers, service managers, and specialisms within community health and care partnerships. The initial training was delivered over a two-day period to the personal care workers. It was also delivered to the community and hospital-based NHS staff in a class-based learning environment. Thereafter, the staff and the personal care workers were moving on to a two-week shadowing experience with the existing re-ablement staff. Okay? And they got some on-the-job training. In addition, there was also a new crisis care team set up. And the purpose of this was to prevent and reduce admissions or readmissions back into hospital. And they were going to work 24/7, so they would be there all the time. The two-day course identified that staff would require further in-depth training later on. Okay, the first 2 days of the training focused on enhancing the ethos of re-ablement being an approach and not simply a service. The course comprised of theory, case studies, empathic learning, group discussion, practical demonstration and activity to develop a generic skill set and knowledge base. This training did win this year the Gold Award at the COSLAR, the Convention of Scottish Local Authorities Award for securing a workforce for the future. So there was a lot of work in it. So really, the aim of the research was to see if actually had the participants bought into it. You know, might sell well, but the proof of the pudding, we'll see. Okay. The aim was to find out if the training enabled staff to carry out their role as re-ablement workers, to capture if skills have been transferred into practice and to identify future learning. What is re-ablement? You know, I have to say that when I first stood up to talk about re-ablement, thinking everybody knew because we were working in this service for older people, I did get an education because I didn't give a definition of what re-ablement was. So I will give you this slight definition. There is loads of different ones, but generally, it's designed to help people learn or relearn the skills necessary for daily living, which may have been lost through deterioration in health and or increased support needs. The methodology and methods that I used was a survey, questionnaire and focus groups. And as I said, my team did come into play on this very much so, not only in helping design in this, along with the mentor that was very supportive. In fact, I think he's maybe lost any hair that he might have in the process. But it was an electronic survey, and it was originally going to be offered to a small amount within the team that we had put through the training. But the senior manager couldn't then decide, how do I tell you what ones you can have and what ones you can't. So they very nicely say that we could put the whole 50 people through, or it was offered to 57. And 52 staff took part, okay? We did not offer it to team managers that had also completed the training. We wanted it purely on the workers, okay? I went on holiday and left my team to kind of support that through the process. Okay. Now, they came and we did put in time, because it was a computer survey, and we had put in support, which was great, I was away. But they had to discover that some of the computer skills, although we had anticipated it would take a bit longer, they needed a lot more support during that process. So that was one of the learning things in this survey. And then we had the joy of the focus groups, which was, it was a great experience actually to go back and work with people. So that was a bonus. Unfortunately, we couldn't do the focus group with the crisis care team because they were already stretched to capacity and couldn't be released. Oh, that was me.
There we go.
Okay, so the survey created quite a lot of findings, and I've just put a few up here. There was definitely an increased staff confidence. Okay, the implementation of techniques to promote service user participation was a big shift. They certainly were working and they were hungry for more of that information. There was a clear understanding of the role of re-enablement. That was in the survey. The focus group, we had quite a few benefits of training. Okay, we had shadowing, problem solving, communication, increased self-esteem, reflective practice, and attainment of goals. Now, I'm going to give you some of the examples that they put there. I'll not go through them all. For example, problem solving. A quote from the staff was, you know, you're thinking a lot more when you go in as an enablement worker. A lot more of this is really having to think through the problem. Okay? Also, one that I'm really quite interested in that I'll highlight is reflection and practice, and the ability to transfer that knowledge into other areas was quite evident. You know, you find something that works with one person and then you try and approaching it a different way with someone else. And instead of saying, you know, do you need a hand with that, you begin to think, can you show me how you do that? You know, you're using your prompts to get somebody to show you a skill that they have and increase their confidence in it. So that was how they described that. Participants felt that even with the constraints of staff turnover, which was an issue for the workers, that they said, you know, we're talking about people who had worked with the same service user for a long period of time, and now they're getting into completely different areas within West Lothian, and they're working with different service users, and that was certainly an issue for them. But the positive, what did come out of that, and it really surprised me, was they used their SMART goal planning, which was specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, time-managed goal setting and goal planning. And when they were putting that into play, they were saying, you know, they were able to say that they were wanted, the service user was wanting to do everything. And you just need to say to them, slow down and take one step at a time. Then maybe you go back in a few weeks' time, you've not seen that service user, and they've actually achieved the goal. So although it's important about consistency with service user, I think the fact that the goal planning was clear, they were still achieving the goal, was one of the important things that came out of there. Then looked from there, we then looked at what the future learning needs were. Now, in line with kind of re-ablement, we have to get the team to buy in to keeping this service alive and keeping it moving. If we don't get the workers to buy in, and that's very much in line with your kind of joint improvement team aims that have came out. I've just dropped these names in because I researched them, okay? We have looked at, you know, areas that they've recognised as dementia, and we need some decisions made, and these are in the process of getting made, on whether we go for increasing the training that we currently do in dementia, or do we go for a recognised qualification so that people are getting something marked in there. Mm. Palliative care, we use the Pan Lothian training at the moment, which is, if you know from West Lothian, it's a training that is delivered on palliative care through our NHS colleagues. And or do we go for another recognised qualification across there? Or do we have a bit of mixed approach in there? Our long-term conditions, we probably will look at doing some bespoke training on that. New aids and adaptions, within this team we have access to OTs, and we will probably, you know, when the decisions are made, it will probably be bespoke updates on what's happening there. Technology, you know, we have a very strong team within there, so we're looking at probably in-house and bespoke. This is my plans. There's no other decisions I have to say. Okay. Our extraordinary outcomes that were, I need to go to my page for this, sorry, were consistency with, what it threw up in the research was consistency with service user. Logistics, as I explained to you, West Lothian covers quite it's quite a rural area. So there's quite a lot of travelling involved. And when they brought our dorm care workers originally into this team, they were all set in their local areas, so they kind of broke that up. And everybody, you could be sent anywhere in West Lothian, so you could be travelling for half an hour and you've not even hurt your service user. So from there, the outcomes, what was happening was people were moving over. And it's worth noting, right, I've said about the goals, the logistics, staff travelling all over West Lothian, so that has already been addressed here in a way, because they've put people in their area teams again, but so you've got less travelling, which gives you more consistency with the service users, so they're already kind of hitting the two aims in one. We've identified our training needs. There's a lot more training needs being identified, but we're kind of prioritising, and decisions have still to be made on where we go for there. And the other area was supervision. It threw up an area of supervision, and that's about feedback and getting the people to receive feedback that they're doing a good job. You know, that's a kind of bit of a gap in there. And although they're getting feedback in a lot of meetings that they've not been part of before, we haven't quite addressed the supervision area. So that's an area that a decision has to be made, whether we use a mentoring scheme or whether we use supervision. That also ties in with our SSSC guidelines that we're working to, that people need, you know, to be getting supervision. Okay, but the most important thing is the buy-in from the staff. Okay. And what I have to say is, we do not want superhero individuals. We want a super team of individuals who deliver individual, inclusive, outcome-focused teams.
Thank you so much.